The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, always bringing you some holiday cheer and the biggest and the best in sports. In our next segment, we are going to hit the hardwood and highlight some NBA news and notes. And certainly there's no burning storylines, but we're going to dive in and discuss some of the NBA teams that are in the rebuilding process. The Knicks, the Nets, the Lakers, and our go-to guy, we're delighted to welcome in on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac. That, of course, is Motez Bashara. He's a sports writer, an author, a blogger. Of course, last year released his book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. Always one of our regular contributors when we talk about the NBA. Motez, as I said, is joining us on our celebrity guest line, Stuart Cadillac. Real people, real value, real simple. And by Score, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason in Score. Score.com. Good evening, Motez. It's nice to have you with us.
Thanks. Nice to be on the line.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are connecting with him in London right now. So before we break down some of the teams that are tanking, I definitely wanted to get your perspective on the significance of Kobe passing MJ in all-time scoring. Just his contributions to the game, and it obviously was a huge moment in his career.
Yeah, I think make no mistake about it, this is a big deal for Kobe. He always looked up to MJ. He's pretty much been the closest reincarnation to Air Jordan that we've seen. He's emulated his career often, you know, everything from his moves on the court to attitude and lifestyle and the way he works so hard in training and everything. So I think this is really a big deal for him. The thing I will say is, you know, we are kind of comparing apples to oranges here. I think that Michael, you know, when he came into the league, he was the first of his kind, really, the first guy to really,
true,
you know, aside from maybe Dr. J, to play above the rim that much.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a Shaquille O'Neal with him on the team. He really had to grit it out in a different era, an era where it was much, much more physical for guards to play, and guys were, you know, all over him, arm-checking him and pushing him and throwing him to the ground. You know, all these things that were not did not happen to Kobe because of all the rule changes later. And Kobe played his first 8 seasons with Shaq, who certainly for at least the first 4 or 5 of those seasons was probably the most dominant player in the league. So we can't really compare them exactly, but he definitely is kind of the next best thing, I think.
Motez, so much respect and admiration for Kobe Bryant, but what do you personally, what do you admire the most about him as a player? Because, you know, he has had so many memorable moments. He's got that killer instinct, that work ethic. I mean, there's not a lot of players that kind of put in the time that he does to refine his game.
No, absolutely. He's a winner. You know, first and foremost, he's a winner and he's a leader on the court. And absolutely, the work ethic is where it's at. I remember reading a story where he bumped into a young player, you know, at a restaurant in L.A., and the player said, "Hey, listen, can I train with you?" And he said, "Sure, I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Come over to my place." and the guy, you know, he came over at 5 in the afternoon. Kobe wasn't there. And he said, "Listen, I looked for you, but you weren't home." And Kobe said, "It was I meant 5 in the morning. 5 a.m.
Yes.
is when he started, when he hits the gym."
Love it.
And, you know, that kid was completely flabbergasted. But, you know, that's a nice little anecdote there to tell you about his work ethic.
You know, and we are so fortunate as fans to continue to witness one of the all-time greats that have been a part of this game. I mean, the league is so special right now. We've got Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas, but we've got Kobe Bryant, too.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I really don't see him ending his career in L.A. I just can't picture him being on a team that's going through this really woeful rebuilding process. I don't think he's happy. And I don't think it would hurt his legacy at all. We saw MJ go to the Wizards. You know, people don't remember that Patrick Ewing finished his career with the Seattle Supersonics. And, you know, a lot of all-time greats, you know, wound up their careers elsewhere. And I could see him somewhere like the Wizards, like MJ. A lot of people are saying he might move to the Knicks, but I think he's desperate for one more ring, and he's obviously not going to get in L.A.
You are listening to the voice of Motez Bashara, blogger, sports writer, author of his book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. We'd love for you to connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always go back and listen to some of our best interviews at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Motez, tell all the listeners across the country where they can connect with you, too.
Sure, absolutely. I've got my blog, thefrugalfan.com, and it's got all my articles that I've freelanced for various news organizations.
So going back, talking about Kobe, I mean, you were saying that perhaps you could envision him playing for another team. Maybe he's not nearing retirement. But you have to wonder, when you look at the Lakers and where they are at this point, I mean, what do you think is the future of this team?
Yeah, they're very fortunate because it's the most glamorous team to play for in the NBA. So even though they're terrible, they will at some point attract a very big name, whether it's Carmelo Anthony or one of the other superstars. I thought LeBron must have been tempted to go there. I guess I was wrong. He's maybe not an LA guy, but there are lots and lots of big-time players who would love to be the focal point with the Lakers. It's a class organization, has an absolutely diehard fan base, and I can't see them, you know, struggling for too much longer.
Well, it's a desirable organization and team to be a part of. You were rattling off some of the names, LeBron, Carmelo, but what is the biggest issue that needs to be addressed besides another big sexy star?
They've got great GM in place in Mitch Kupchak, and he knows what he's doing. He's been there for a very long time. They've got a lot of salary cap room. They're clearly going to have a very high draft pick, so they're kind of stockpiling and just kind of, you know, biding their time until they get some good high draft choices. And I'm sure they'll make a play for Carmelo or somebody else when the time is right, probably right after the season.
Okay, so let's head out to the East. Let's talk about the New York Knicks, because they're certainly experiencing some serious frustration. Of course, I watched the game against the Mavericks on Tuesday night, and they are now 5-22 after that loss. Who's to blame?
I think you got to start with ownership right at the top. And I empathize with Steve Dolan, because I think the Dolans really do want to win. It's not like they are taking their fan base for granted. They spend a hell of a lot of money on the Knicks. I think the hiring of Phil Jackson was questionable as a GM. Phil Jackson is probably the all-time greatest coach ever, but he's never been a GM, and they are two completely different skill sets. And so evaluating players for talent versus coaching players are just two completely different things. And I really wonder whether Phil Jackson now has a greater appreciation for the late Jerry Krause and what he did in Chicago. You know, they battled each other tooth and nail. They didn't get along. They weren't even speaking to each other by the end.
Mm-hmm.
But Krause, you know, led them to 6 championships in terms of assembling talent within the salary cap structure. And, you know, this is something completely new for Phil Jackson. Also, I really have to question why he insists on implementing the triangle offense.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the right offense for New York. They've got guys who really like to kind of stop the ball rather than move it around. And so, you know, you're kind of putting the cart in front of the horse there. You know, you've got the system in place, but not the players. And also a rookie coach. Lots of things that really don't make a lot of sense in New York right now. Not to mention, you know, probably the first or second highest ticket prices in America. So you've got a terrible team, and you're charging a lot for some disgruntled fans to be in there. But, You know what? That's not new for New York, and fans keep coming, so I think they can get away with this for another year.
Our NBA conversation with Motez Bashar will continue here in just a moment at Yahoo Sports Radio. It is a difficult time if you are a New York Knicks, and we are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Again, we want to encourage you to go to our Twitter, at @eRadioSports. Of course, we're going one-on-one right now to the hoop with Motez Bashar, well-known sports writer and author. His book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. And the holidays, indeed, they are here. This would be a great time for all of our NBA fans to go out there and get a copy of this. But, you know, to Phil Jackson's defense, I mean, he was talking about what the Knicks, he was quoted as saying that they have this loser's mentality. They don't know how to finish it out in the fourth. Any truth to that?
To be fair, they've got some injuries. Iman Shumpert is their best defensive player. He's out indefinitely. Bariani is one of their best offensive players. He's out. I think there's like a lack of cohesion offensively, and they've got their superstar Carmelo, who everyone talks about leaving pretty soon. I mean, he's vocalized and said he doesn't want to go anywhere, but I think he's their biggest dangling chip out there to try and get some draft picks and assets. So there are a lot of questions, and a lot of distractions for players. And so I don't blame them for not having the killer mentality. And it's funny, only two seasons ago, they were battling the then LeBron-led Miami Heat in the playoffs and doing being very competitive with them. And now they look like one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, you know, Motez, let's cycle back to the month of June and that massive swap and trade that took place with Jose Calderon, Shane Larkin, Samuel Dalembert with the Mavericks, and of course, the Mavs, they were able to get Tyson Chandler. I think that perhaps the Knicks, they underestimated the value of Tyson and what he brings, because he is absolutely flourishing under Rick Carlisle's system.
Yeah, he was their defensive hero, their defensive stopper.
In 2011.
Tremendous rebounder. And I have no idea what they were doing. It was very, very questionable. I was a bit shocked that they let him go. They obviously kept Amari Stoudemire, who's, you know, really half the player that he used to be, but with 100% of the contract. I really don't get it. It was very surprising to me. It was mind-boggling. But, you know, they're paying a lot of guys a lot of money in the higher echelons of their management to make these evaluations, and they're not doing a very good job.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us. Motez Bashar, a sports writer, author, and blogger, talking about the NBA tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, so we zipped over to the Eastern Conference. Hey, we got to step back for just a moment. Let's get back over to the Western Conference. And obviously, stunning news with Mike Malone being let go as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Was the firing, I mean, was that the right move? Because they had played solid ball despite, you know, not having what their best player in DeMarcus Cousins.
We don't really know what went on personality-wise behind the scenes. I mean, the owner of the Kings, he's a new owner. I think he's been there for a little over a year, Vivek Ranadive. He saved them from moving to Seattle, which seemed like, it was a foregone conclusion. And he thinks outside the box. You know, he's a self-made billionaire. And I heard a story that I read a long article about him coaching his daughter's, his teenage daughter's JV team to like the state finals or something by basically doing a full court press and defending the inbounds pass. And there was talk, I don't know if this is just a rumor, but there was talk on the sports shows that he wants to implement this with the Kings in the NBA to basically not defend the inbound passer and have five guys defending, you know, the four people on the field. I can't really see how an experienced point guard in the NBA wouldn't just see right through that. But I like the fact that this guy's thinking outside the box, and maybe, the former coach just, you know, was a little bit too much of a throwback for him and just didn't agree with it.
Well, some philosophical differences, perhaps that's what doomed Mike Malone. But as you look at that opening slot, I mean, you know how deep the Western Conference is. It is absolutely brutal. Who could potentially be the best candidate to fill that slot? Because he's got to be able to make a connection with DeMarcus Cousins and win him over.
Yeah, George Karl's name has been mentioned. He's getting up there in age, so I would have to think that he'd just be a temporary kind of solution. Same with a name like a Don Nelson. You know, I don't know if he'd be willing to come back. He's definitely an outside the box kind of thinker. But you know, knowing Ranadive, he's probably thinking like of going younger. And I think the trend is to get guys who have just played in the league. Like Derek Fisher in New York, for instance, and you know, a lot of guys who don't have a lot of head coaching experience, like Steve Kerr. They're getting a lot of guys out of the the broadcast booth, and I'm pretty shocked how amazing Steve Kerr has done too. So I think guys who kind of give the league a fresh perspective is probably what this owner is looking for.
You know, I'm glad that the name George Karl has certainly emerged. What, he was coach of the year back in 2013, but he has had, if you review his resume, I mean, he's had to deal with some challenging personalities. You know, we were talking about DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, it's been well documented, but I mean, whether it is a Carmelo Anthony or even a Sean Kemp.
That's true. I think Sean Kemp was really a franchise player, and I don't know if he gave in too much grief on the pitch. Sean Kemp probably had his own off-field, you know, dramas. But on court, he was a tremendous workhorse for him. And a pretty unselfish player, too. But Carmelo Anthony and him, I don't think, really saw eye to eye too much. And I think Carl probably wanted a little more ball movement than what Carmelo offered. And he's the one who pulled the trigger on that big trade. I think, you know, he could come in. It's really tough to get an established coach to come in, a couple of months into the season. You know, the coach hasn't had any time to work with the players. He certainly had no input onto who's on the roster. And I think he would just have to get somebody to kind of, you know, keep this team on ice and prepare for seasons to come. But I think keeping DeMarcus Cousins happy on the team is their number one priority.
I will say, you know, Motez, it's been crazy. I mean, when you talk about the Kings, I mean, they've gone through, what, seven coaches since 2006? I saw that somewhere. So anyways, Motez Bashara, sports writer, author, and of course, go out and get a copy of his book, Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. Always a pleasure to have you with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Motez, I promise, we will catch up in 2015. Congratulations on all your success. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. Happy holidays to you. Many thanks.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead as the Big E Sports Show rolls on right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from all of us at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Let's now turn our attention to some more college basketball. A couple more teams that I want us to shine the spotlight on, specifically the Kentucky Wildcats. We also want to talk about Louisville. But we have invited on our program for the very first time one of the best guys in the business, a dynamic personality. You can listen to him on WHAS in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm talking about Terry Miners. He's been on air for 30 years. You are like a living legend in Kentucky. Hello, sweet tea. How are you, Terry?
Hey, Alyssa, the trick is always to stay alive, to be a living legend instead of a 6 feet under legend. That's never any fun.
That is so, so true. Okay, so let's delve in here. Let's talk about the top-ranked Kentucky Wildcats. They are 11-0, and I know that there is, what, no ninth national banner hanging from Up Arena above Kentucky's home court, but this truly could be the year, right? Because we are not surprised. They are a unanimous number one pick in the nation.
Indeed, and it's been that way for a couple of weeks, and I don't know why it hasn't been all the way through. This recruiting class may be the best thing anybody's ever assembled. This structure that John Calipari has right now may be the best template ever put down, but no one's ever had this opportunity with this many McDonald All-Americans, or they call them Burger Boys. They've had nine Burger Boys on that team, and it's insane to even think about assembling that much talent and keeping them happy. And that's where Calipari's a master. You know, these guys all have egos. They all have, their moms have scrapbooks. They all come from some place where everybody says, you're the greatest guy that ever lived. Mm-hmm. And yet when you assemble that many people and somehow teach them that they're going to compartmentalize, they're going to share, they're going to be a part of a bigger machine, that's a real trick. And, I mean, he's King Solomon in many ways, Calipari, in keeping these people happy, all these different really high-level achievers happy.
So how has he been able to do that for the guys to have a team-first mentality?
Well, I don't know the individual personalities well enough. You know, I know enough of them just from being around a little bit, but that's something Cal must know about in his heart when he recruits certain people. Clearly, they have to be right at the top of the top in terms of talent, but they have to have a certain mindset in order to fit into a system like this. You can't bring a guy that demands the entire spotlight on himself into a situation like this. So these are not, you know, Johnny Lunchpail guys, but they have to be willing to buy into a bigger picture, and Calipari must be a master of selling that picture to them.
Radio host with WHAS in Louisville, Kentucky, Terry Miners is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And let's have some fun. We're radio personalities here, Terry. There has been a lot of talk, some debate about could the Kentucky Wildcats, could they beat an NBA team? Some say yes. Some say, look, that's ridiculous. I mean, and who really cares?
I say it is ridiculous because you're talking about guys, if you take the top couple of guys off Kentucky's team, whoever they turn out to be in the end. You know, right now, Anthony Davis is a superstar in the NBA. Well, he left with a couple of other really talented guys, too, but Anthony is the one who made it to the top, if you will. And so this Kentucky team, as great as it is, one or two of those guys can run with a pro team right now and beat them. You know, I mean, if they're matched mm-hmm. up with other pros. But you can't take a college team and go against that many magnificent, superior athletes and the system that an NBA, you know, the workload on an NBA guy is significantly higher, and, you know, the professional status of it all. No way that a college team can run with them. It's a fun thing for people to debate, but no way.
Okay, so who can beat Kentucky?
That's a good question. You know, I thought Texas put up a great fight against them.
Right.
You've got to have a lot of bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you have to have a lot of bigs because they swat them away. I mean, even the cheerleaders swat shots for Kentucky. They're all that good. I mean, everybody's got length. And so you're going to have to come with a lot of bigs, and then you're going to have to hit a zillion threes that night. And Kentucky's had some nights where they've had really anemic three-point shooting. It would have to be a combination of those elements. Kentucky flat from way outside, and maybe a couple of the bigs in foul trouble, although it doesn't matter. There are seven more waiting in the wings. And the other team has to have enough bigs to be able to go down low some.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one. We're hooping it up with Terry Miners, radio host with WHAS out there in Louisville, Kentucky. And, of course, head coach John Calipari, he's already won a national championship at Kentucky, played in another last season. But is this team, I mean, are these, is this year's version, 2014, 2015 version, is it better than those teams in the past?
Yes. It is better because, you know, you take a guy like John Wall or DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, they were phenomenal athletes.
Oh, yes.
They were backed by people who were a couple of clicks behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are moving with better fluidity. They have a humility about them that maybe we didn't see in some of these other teams. And by seeing last year's team walk up there to the edge and then have UConn run away with the Nets, I think that may have been the last bit of enlightenment that needed to dawn upon them. Clearly, a lot of these guys are freshmen, but they were around and observing what was happening and were already in Kentucky's system as recruits to pay close enough attention to see. They made it that close last year. This year we're taking it all away. I mean, I don't know who would stop Kentucky. Like I said, it'd have to be some freakish night in March when some team is just lights out from the three-point area and they have a couple of bigs in there to give Kentucky a little bit of trouble under the boards.
Okay, extra motivation there. Is that your reasoning why last year's team is largely intact and they didn't have a mass exodus of their superstar players?
Yes. Yeah, and the new guys that are in this year are at their talent level, too. And so I think the overall combination of skills is better than last year. But to be able to go there and not be overwhelmed by the lights and the pressure that goes with being in the Final Four, that's all old news to those guys. Like you said, most of them did not leave. They came back because they thought, you know what, we didn't get the job done. We're going to do it this time, and I really can't see anybody stopping Kentucky.
I was going to say, Terry, do you think that they will go undefeated this year? Are they setting themselves apart from everyone else in that echelon?
It won't matter. Louisville could beat them. Okay. UCLA is not going to beat them this weekend, but Louisville could. And maybe Billy Donovan's Florida team, which is not as good as usual. You just never know. The SEC is like Kentucky's the bowling ball, and the other teams in the SEC are the pins. Bring, and they're going to roll a strike. They might leave one pin standing, but that won't matter. If they lose a game somewhere along the way, it'll probably be helpful. Because once you get to March, if you are undefeated, then all you're doing is putting yourself, your head in a vise and tightening it that much more. One loss, and they've been close a couple times, one loss might teach those guys just that one last little bit of insight into getting the job done.
Well,
but if they do go undefeated, I will absolutely not be surprised.
Kentucky, so dangerous, and they have been decimating their opponents. We focus so much of our conversation on Kentucky, but what about Rick Pitino? What about his Cardinals? I mean, they're rolling. Those boys are rolling 9-0. I love Rick Pitino.
Yeah, they're doing great. Pitino is a master of what he does, too. He recruits a little bit different type of player.
How so? Tell me.
Well, he's kind of gone global. Pitino's the United Nations headmaster now. I mean, there's more African kids coming, Australian kids. We've got an Egyptian this year.
Wow,
that's
very
what
diverse.
He refers to them as. You know, the Egyptian and the Scotsman, and it sounds like a joke. And a rabbi go into a bar, and but there are some terrific kids from around the globe that Pitino brings in. He's got a couple of 7-footers that he's brought in that are raw talents, but he's working with them. I went to practice 2 days ago, and you see much better footwork and court awareness out of these European kids who are more soccer oriented. I mean, that's what they're brought up on, and suddenly they start popping out, and they're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and then all of a sudden basketball comes into their lives. But they're already 16 years old by then. And when they've lived in a soccer frame of mind. And when Louisville won it a couple of years ago with Gorgui Dieng, another situation like that, an African kid, soccer on his brain, they brought him here and said, son, this is called a basketball, and this is how we play this game. And so it's a maturation process and an education that Pitino is really, really strong in that area.
Radio host with WHAS in Louisville, Kentucky, Terry Miners, has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're flat out of time, and the countdown is certainly on with that Kentucky matchup between Louisville and Kentucky, and that's going to be a lot of fun, okay?
All right. Look, it's in Louisville, so the emotion does play a factor, so maybe it'll be tighter than people will expect. We'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Open invitation. We will have you back, Terry. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I'm your lovely guide, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Remember, we absolutely love hearing from all of our listeners across the country. You can join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports, or why not email the show at Alyssa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And look who is back once again, my favorite elf, who is always helping us out each and every week, our producer. And that, of course, is the great Andy Pondillo, one of the rising stars right here at YSR. Good evening, Andy. It's nice to have you back.
I'm excited to be back, and I hope I'm taller than most elves.
And a whole lot smarter. Well, listen, okay, so many off-season moves. It just continues, and let's head out, Andy. Let's pick up where our conversation left off last week, but I want to talk to you about the AL East, because the Blue Jays, I mean, they certainly have a lot of power at the plate, and they have, would you think, maybe perhaps one of the most potent offenses in the league?
It's definitely one of the most top-heavy offenses we've seen in the last couple years, not just this year, but in the last couple years, and the Red Sox have matched that nicely. You look at the Blue Jays lineup, they subtract Melky Cabrera as he heads to the White Sox. Why Melky would not want to stay in that situation in Toronto, I'm unsure, but I guess the White Sox may have offered a couple more million dollars. You look at this, when you have a middle of the order now with Josh Donaldson coming over to play third base, Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, people like hitting in Toronto for some reason. Josh was already one of the best hitting, probably the best hitting third baseman in Major League Baseball. Now he joins that group. every player is accelerated when you bat in a lineup like that. When you have someone behind you that can protect you, someone that can pick up the RBI opportunities when you don't come through, it just eases it a little bit. Josh Donaldson did play in a very good lineup in Oakland last year with Cespedes behind him, but this lineup just takes it to another level. Very strong-looking order, and it's all set up with the leadoff man Jose Reyes at the top. He has to stay healthy, and we say this every single year when you talk about Jose Reyes. Can he stay healthy? He never really is, but if you get 120 to 140 games out of him, I think this lineup still has enough to be one of the top three in the majors.
And Reyes is what makes this offense complete, doesn't he?
Yes, exactly. You need that top-of-the-order guy. Without Melky Cabrera now, there's going to be a lot more put on Jose to produce what he did back with the Mets, and he can. Jose Reyes is one of the most dynamic players in baseball when he's healthy, but he just never is. So if he can put together a three-fourths of a good season, I think that'll be enough to make this Toronto Blue Jay lineup really go. When you look at the AL East, it's interesting that there is no team that even appears close to complete. A lot of teams, when you look at the Red Sox, you look at the Blue Jays, Orioles, teams that can definitely mash and hit the ball, but who has a deep pitching staff? There's a lot of what-ifs in all of these pitching staffs. Right now, I give the edge to the Blue Jays. If it stays as is with all these teams in the AL East, no more additions are made, no one's picking up James Shields, I'm going to go Toronto Blue Jays to win the division.
Okay, our YSN producer, Andy Pondillo, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. There continues to be so many offseason moves that are taking place. You're talking about the Blue Jays in terms of the additions. What about subtractions? Who would you like to see go away or perhaps go somewhere else?
When it comes to just AL East in general, I would like to see some of these teams take a risky move and go for some pitching. Now, that's easier said than done because pitching isn't easy to come by. Sometimes you got to give up prospects. Sometimes you got to maneuver your starting lineup and you subtract a big bat that maybe you wish you would have had once a few guys go down with injury. I think the Oakland Athletics could attest to that when they traded Cespedes. And that moves me to Cespedes, who was traded from the Red Sox to the Tigers to get Rick Porcello. They try to bolster up their staff a little more there with the starting rotation that already looks a bit thin. So I would look for one of these teams in the American League East to try and make a move to get some pitching. The Orioles, they lost a lot of guys over there. They're going to have to depend on Manny Machado to come back. They're going to have to depend on Chris Davis to come back from his suspension and be what he was. Yet you're still depending on Chris Tillman to be an ace, and I don't know if that's an ace-caliber pitcher. All of these teams, they have a lot of pluses. It could be a division where everybody wins right around 80 games or more, but is anyone a true postseason competitor? I don't know if they are unless they're able to make some moves. I think that they either need to make a trade now, or in the Red Sox or Blue Jays case, I think they're the two top teams in the division. They're going to have to make a move at some point during the season if they can't now. If they truly think they can get past the first round, they'll have to.
Okay, it's our MLB news and notes as we go one-on-one and around the horn with Andy Pondillo at YSR. Andy, tell all the listeners across the country once again where they can check out your stuff online.
And they can always check me out at climbingtowelshill.com. Astro Chat is the podcast. We talk Houston Astros baseball.
Okay, the Red Sox, they look to pose, I would say, to make another playoff run, but it's really going to be limited, isn't it, Andy? Unless they've got to add some significant pitching. They got to get some help.
Well, they struck out trying to get John Lester back. A lot of people figured they would. They were right in it to the end trying to get Lester a year back. They were trying to get him to an extension before he got to free agency, forced to trade him to Oakland, but it all works out in this weird pattern where they traded him to Oakland, they get Cespedes, and then they sign Hanley, they sign Sandoval, and then they are able to trade Cespedes over to the Tigers and get Rick Porcello. Now, Rick Porcello, a far cry from John Lester, but you got to figure he's probably the strongest pitcher they have going into the top of the season. You know, you really don't know what you're going to get out of Clay Buchholz, Wade Miley, a nice addition. Really, the rotation isn't bad. The rotation is enough for them to compete. I look at them and the Blue Jays in the same little area right here. They have a rotation where it's enough to compete. They both have fabulous offenses, but what are they going to do to get over that hump? What happens if one of their pitchers go down? They don't have the depth necessary. So I look for the Red Sox to be in the top three in the league and runs scored. I look for them to be in contention all the way into the last week. It all just depends what they get out of those starters as to where they ultimately fall.
Hey, we are so glad you made it a point to join us over the past 2 hours at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Going one-on-one, picking the brain of Andy Pondillo. He is our baseball guru around here. And one of the things we didn't get into last week, Andy, I want to talk to you about was the Mariners adding the addition of Nelson Cruz. What kind of impact is he going to be able to make?
Well, the Mariners are going to be a strong team all around. I look for them to actually be one of the two best teams in all of the American League, not just the American League West. The Mariners, they put together a strong showing last year. And I had to be a little skeptical about the Mariners. I really didn't know what they were going to get from their lineup. Now, their lineup still, to me, ranks about seventh in the American League, might move up to sixth. But it goes from a lineup that had tons of holes to a lineup that maybe only has a few holes with an excellent starting pitch, starting rotation. I mean, this starting rotation is as good as it gets, led by King Felix. It's James Paxton, the young guy. Taiwan Walker, who we talked about as one of their top prospects, right, could even be traded because of the depth they have in their starting rotation, and a great leader in Robinson Cano. A lot of players love to gravitate towards Robinson. You can say what you want about the contract. They might have went a little overboard the back end of that contract. He may be getting severely overpaid, but he is a good leader, and to have Nelson Cruz now batting behind him, you have Seager, who probably moves to the five slot. They have a very formidable 3-4-5, just like we talked about with the Blue Jays. Not quite as strong when it comes to the raw power hitting in that big ballpark. Top of the order, still a little questionable what you're going to get out of the 1-2 positions, but it's a start with the power in the middle of the order, the strong rotation. They've got two of the biggest facets you need for a playoff contending team. They got two huge things solved. Now they can try and figure the rest out. And there really just is, there's very few complete teams in the American League. I think the Mariners are one of the closest to it.
Well, one of my observations is there is so much power, Andy, in the American League. And this is just going to be such a dynamic lineup.
Oh, it's going to be great. I want to see what these guys can do, but with any team, you got some old legs out there, you got some old arms out there. Will they stay healthy? That is always going to be the question. And what is Seager going to do after having a huge year? He gets the $100 million contract over at third base, a guy that could be very productive for the Mariners, but it's also just 1 year. Does he come back and have the same type of production he had last year? It all looks good in theory. A lot of these teams, it always looks good in theory. They're going to have 110 RBI. You know they just will in that lineup, but they still have to play the games, and that's what makes baseball great is, you know, one guy 1 year, he's an MVP. The next year, he's barely in the starting lineup. The guy who was barely in the starting lineup last year is the MVP, so there's always going to be surprises to be had. As of right now, the Mariners are my favorite team in the American League West.
Oh, we love having him on with us from on occasion. That is Andy Pondillo, our YSR producer and our go-to guy when we talk about MLB. And I promise, hey, we're just going to continue these conversations because, Andy, there's been so much that continues to take place in the winter meetings aftermath. So we'll talk to you next week, too, okay?
Sounds great.
Special thank you to all of our outstanding guests in line. Of Trent Johnson, TCU's head men's basketball coach, Motez Bashar, a sports writer, author, and blogger, Terry Miners, radio host with WHAS in Louisville, Kentucky, Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment, and Mark Spears, NBA writer with Yahoo Sports. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell encouraging you, don't you dare drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.